Thank you for joining me today. I'm delighted to have today a mass presented by the County Judges Association that I spoke to earlier at their meetings in Benton, and I appreciate their partnership through all of this. Welcome. This is the first weekly COVID-19 update. We went daily for 144 days, I believe it is, and today we'll start going weekly through this, giving a weekly report, and so there's a lot to cover today. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero of the Department of Health, Dr. Ivy Pfeffer of the Department of Education. We have additionally Dr. Seeley that's here as an expert on antigen testing equipment, and she runs the lab at the Department of Health, and Dr. Seema is here as well to talk about an issue as we go forward. If we see trying to develop whether there's a pattern in our cases, with last Friday being a very high day of over 1,100 cases and every day going down sequentially since then, today we're up a little bit in our cases, and I'll give that information to you. There is a little bit of a pattern, up some days and going down sequentially and then popping back up a little bit. So we're trying to figure out that pattern in cases. In the meantime, we're continuing to emphasize our testing, and as you will see today, that our testing is very, very strong across the state of Arkansas. But I do want to lead out with an announcement, and that announcement is that, as you know, we have invested in 200 BD Veritor point-of-care antigen testing equipment. Those are in-house, but we did not have the supplies to match up with those antigen tests, and so we've been a little bit hamstrung by the ability to greatly increase our antigen testing across Arkansas. The good news is that the Department of Health has received 12,000 antigen tests that is in hand that will allow us to have at least 2 months of antigen testing guaranteed through the Department of Health. And this is great news to greatly expand our testing capacity in Arkansas, as well as continuing to increase our PCR testing. This right here is the antigen test, and the beauty of it is simple. It does not take a great deal of time, and it is quick point of care. And so the simplicity of the antigen machine with the adequate testing is what is going to help us make sure we can prioritize our K-12 schools as well as our colleges. And with that, I want to go to our first slide that demonstrates how this is going to be distributed across the state of Arkansas. And here the type of facility on the right shows that we're going to have NYIT in Jonesboro. We're going to have our Arkansas Minority Health with the antigen test machines. We're going to have the Northwest Council that will have two. We're going to have critical access hospitals. We will have them distributed to our small rural hospitals as well. And then our local health units will be the critical link to this. That's the yellow, and you'll see those locations all across Arkansas are local health units. And so people can go into our local health units. They will have access to antigen tests, quick turnaround point of care tests. And then you can see the options that we have in our testing to continue to enhance that. I want to ask Stephanie Williams to come up, who's our Chief of Staff at the Department of Health, and to refer to this chart and to go through a little bit more clarity on how these testing equipment will be distributed.
Thank you, Governor. That was a great overview. We are really excited that we have these, the test kits, and can now fully implement the antigen testing statewide. As the Governor said, we will be placing a unit in each one of our local health units. To date, we have 37 units that have been providing antigen testing. They've done 670 tests in in those counties and have identified a number of positives. So in the counties where we have high volume of visitors for antigen testing, these would be our units in Jonesboro, so Craighead County, Washington County, Benton County, Jefferson County, those units will actually be receiving a second machine now. So they'll have two, so that will increase their ability to serve folks in a timely manner. So in addition to that, the governor mentioned that we'll be placing a unit with the Arkansas Minority Health Commission. We're very excited. They'll be focusing on doing testing in the southern part of the state. Also, with the mobile unit that NYIT, which is our RDO school at ASU, they will be focused on doing testing in the eastern part of the state and the Delta. So we're excited. We'll have those two mobile units up, and they will have the capability to do PCR testing using the public health laboratory, but also offer antigen testing for patients that are symptomatic. Then also our critical access hospitals will be offered a machine. Not all of those hospitals need one of these machines, but they will have access if they do. Also, the small hospitals, we have about six hospitals that qualify as small rural hospitals and participate in some special programming with us. They will also be offered machines. That'll leave us with probably about 40 to 50 machines that we'll look at placing in the community. So in our emergency communications center, Mr. Joe Martin serves as our point of contact for clinics that are dealing with issues related to securing testing supplies. So he is receiving a request for assistance, either from folks that need BD machines and supplies, or for groups that have a BD machine now but haven't been able to secure testing material. So we're asking folks to call our hotline number and let us know if they feel like they would qualify for placement of a machine or if they need BD testing supplies, which we may be able to assist with. Thank you.
What this means for the average citizen is that they can go in as usual to get a PCR test. But they also have another option. If they want a point-of-care test, an antigen test, they can go in and have that test taken in their local health unit or other place that is distributed. And this will really help us with our K-12 education for greater turnaround, quicker turnaround, and greater access, as well as to higher ed. Those are the first priorities that we have for these new antigen tests that we have obtained. With that, I have an additional announcement to make that is somewhat frustrating, but also sad because it relates to the deaths in Arkansas. And just like in our testing where we had our PCR test and then we went to our antigen test that added those probable cases, the same thing is happening in reference to our deaths today. Later, we'll be adding 139 new deaths to the total COVID-19 deaths here in Arkansas. These will be probable deaths that will be characterized, not the positive identification that have been done through the PCR test and that we articulate every day, but these will be characterized as probable tests. There will be 139 that will be added as that has been calculated by the Department of Health. Dr. Seema, I've asked him to come and to explain this in more detail, what this means and what a probable death is characterized by. Dr. Seema.
Yes, thank you, Governor. To reiterate what the Governor already mentioned, in accordance with the Council on State and Territorial Epidemiologist case definition, that was adopted by the CDC in August. We began reporting probable cases, and so too now we must report probable deaths. These will include persons who were diagnosed as a probable case. So, for an example, somebody who had a positive antigen test only, they were labeled as a probable case and unfortunately they expired. These will also include individuals who had on their death certificate COVID-19 as a contributing or underlying cause of their death, but we may not have had any laboratory evidence of infection. So per the case definition from CSTE that was adopted by CDC, these persons would be labeled as a probable death. So we'll be adding 139 probable deaths to our website. These will be shown on our dashboard under probable deaths, and we'll be able to show those by county as well. And with that, I'll turn it back to the governor.
And then let me go to our first graph, actually be our second one. But I want to look at where we are, since this is September 15th, where we are in our testing goals. And, of course, our goal was a total of 200,000 total tests, which were 190,000 PCR tests with another 10,000 antigen tests. So these are our PCR tests on September 15th. As you can see, we're at 102,000, which significantly exceeds our goal for the half of the month. So if we can finish strong, we're going to be able to make our goal. Clearly, that shows significant testing here in Arkansas during the first half. Again, if you look at just 6% of our population is 180,000. So that is more than 6% of our population that we're doing every month if we meet that goal. And then the next one is the number of antigen tests. And here again, this starts September 1, our increase. And you can see that over the weekend we had just really flat in terms of our antigen testing, but they have increased dramatically with the beginning of the week. And so our total number of tests that we've done is 6,888. And again, put that in perspective that we're going to be adding 12,000 antigen tests capacity just with the supplies that we just announced earlier. So we expect that antigen testing to go up over the coming months. Next, you'll see the number of PCR tests by facility. And here again, we don't want to totally rely upon our commercial test that goes up, that goes down. But our Department of Health lab continues to be strong with significant testing as well. And you can see that our testing in the last 24 hours has been 5,852 PCR tests. The next slide will take us to the number of new cases. And let me spend a moment on this. We have 676 new cases in Arkansas in the last 24 hours. These are new PCR-confirmed cases. We also have 11 additional hospitalization, and we have 17 additional deaths. I'll show those here in just a moment. But if you just look at the number of new cases, you can see that it's just simply up and down. Now, I don't mind a little up and down lower, but I don't like the extraordinarily high when 1,100 or 1,000 cases, because that just means that really there's getting dumped too many in one day from our labs. And so we want a little bit more level out, but the next one shows the rolling average of cases. As you can see, the trend line where we're lower than we were at our height, but we, you know, if we want that to go down. We want that to have fewer cases, even though we're trying to identify as many as we can for safety purposes. And next, the number of active cases is fairly flat right now. The next one shows the number of new cases in Arkansas by test type. I wanted to illustrate this because the test type, I was looking for the code there, the white are the antigen test and the red are the PCR test. And so that's how it's broken down. And you can see in the last 24 hours, we've had the number of new cases resulting from those tests. So that's informative as to where the new cases are coming from. And then, or the type of test, this is the antigen test. The positivity rate, you can see, is much higher, up over 20% in positivity for our antigen test. The next one is the positivity rate for PCR test. And this is important because look at the trend line. You see really a consistent trend line when it was up over 10%, having that go down. And this is by week. But you've seen a consistent lowering of our positivity rate for our PCR test. This is a 7-day rolling average, which is going the same direction, below the 8%. We hope that we can keep that up if everyone does the right thing. So let's stop there. This is just a resource for our daily updates. There's other places that you can get this information when we're not having our daily update. This is from our website, the Department of Health website, and those will be posted every day mid-afternoon if you want to follow it. I did want to mention our hospitalizations were up by 11. That brings us to 389 hospitalizations, which is, again, below the peak of 420 some time ago. Our deaths for the first time has reached over 1,000 at 1,003, and as I mentioned, that's going to go up significantly with the addition of the probable deaths. Dr. Seema, will that be included on that number, or will that be a separate number? They will be listed separately. So the confirmed deaths will stay at 1,003. We will start the other category of the probable test as well. And with that, I wanted to invite Dr. Romero for his comments.
Thank you, Governor. So I will add a little bit more. So our total confirmed cases in the state today are 70,125, with total probable cases. As mentioned by Dr. Seema and the governor, we are now reporting probable cases in the state, 1,232. With regard to use of ventilators, I'm happy to announce that we have further decreased the use of ventilators in our hospitalized patients. We are down to 68, a decrease of 8. Again, indicating that we have a significant reserve. Recovered patients at this time, we've added 675 to the roster with 63,415. The governor has mentioned the testing. We continue to be very robust with testing thanks to Dr. Seeley and her team at the public health lab processing over 2,000 tests. The overall positivity rate is 8.3 from the start of the time we've been keeping it. But as mentioned by the governor, for the last 6 weeks, including this week, we are well under the 10% mark and continue to decrease. With regard to the counties, we have 8 counties that have 20 or more cases, starting with Washington County at 91. Most of those cases come from the northwest, around the university. Pulaski County at 71, Benton County 48, Sebastian County 47, Jefferson County 23, Garland County 22, Faulkner 21, and finally Craighead at 20. And I believe there is another slide at this point. Yes, so thank you. So this shows average 14-day moving average percent positivity per county. It allows us and you to compare your county positivity rate to other counties. As you can see, we're doing fairly well in the central part of the state, but in the peripheral parts, especially up in Washington, those counties, our percent positivity rate is over 10%, and we're trying to push this downward. So this points to more testing and, of course, adherence to the recommendations for the use of the mask, social distancing, and hand washing. So thank you very much. I will turn it over to the governor. Thank you.
Thank you. And in case that slipped through, in addition to the 5,852 PCR tests, we did 880 antigen tests with 188 of those positive, which is 21.4%, as I mentioned. In terms of education, I've asked Dr. Pfeffer to come and make a comment on where we are in our schools, which I just want to express a lot of pride in our teachers, in our students, in our staff, administrators at our schools that have done so well in the start this year. Last year, we had 479,000 K through 12 public school students in Arkansas, 479,000. So if we have similar numbers this year, then that means we've had 574 active cases in our schools. That is less than 0.2% in terms of cases in our schools. That's really a good start, shows they're really following the guidelines and all really working hard to have it a successful year. Dr. Pfeffer.
Thank you, Governor. And yes, we are proud of our school districts and how they are responding as the school year starts. And as all of you know, we've discussed this, the 574 active cases are going to affect and impact school district operations differently. And so whether a positive case is a student or a staff member, it's going to depend on the number of close contacts around that individual. And in many cases, if there are large numbers of staff affected in a school district, then the school district does have to make modifications. So just an update on where schools are today. Since school started, there have been a total of 39 COVID modifications to on-site instruction in some form or fashion. 22 of those modifications are still ongoing. So since the start of the school year, we do have some that have been added. 8 have been added this week. Now, to understand, though, we have to remember that each of these modifications are unique to the school district and unique to the circumstances around the need for the modification. So one example might be in a district like Pocahontas that has shifted their high school to virtual for 2 days, and that is to allow the district time to do some cleaning and notification to all of the affected students. Another example of recent modifications is in the Pulaski County School District, where there was just one classroom of second grade students that are going to be utilizing virtual instruction for the next 2 weeks. We have had one school district that has had to pivot to remote learning for the rest of this week, starting today. And that was also due to a large number of staff who had to be quarantined, and the timing of the new staff members with the ones who are already quarantined are going to have them pivoting for a short time, but the plan is to return next week if possible. So you can see that districts are really taking a measured response, really focusing on the needs in their school community, and we do appreciate the way school districts are working to continue to keep as many students on site as possible and to have a great school year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivy. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
With the probable deaths that were added today, are those, what's the main reason that they are probable? Is it primarily the antigen testing, or is it primarily there was just no test? Or
I'm going to let Dr. Seema address that.
Great question. So as I mentioned, you can be labeled as a probable case and probable death if you have a positive antigen test alone and then you expire. And also you can be labeled as a probable death if someone passes away and on their death certificate their underlying cause of death or a significant contributing cause of death is COVID-19, even in the absence of an antigen test or a PCR test. Of the 139, the most prevalent are going to be those that have COVID-19 listed on their death certificate, but not necessarily laboratory evidence.
And how far back do these go? Like, is this just since March? Or?
I don't have that directly in front of me, but we can get that information for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
With these new deaths added, I mean, do you get the sense that the number of deaths has been accelerating since March, that we're kind of hitting these number milestones quicker and quicker, and what do you make of that?
No, I don't have the sense that they're accelerating because, and that's been a little bit of the frustrating part, that we're adding deaths that should have been accounted for in the month of July or June or 2 weeks ago, and so that's throwing the daily number off. So I'm frustrated by the system that has been changed by the CDC as to how you count these. But we're trying to be very transparent in it. We're concerned about every death, but I don't see that that's accelerating. It's just simply that we are really accounting for deaths that have come in previously. Dr. Romero?
That is correct.
Or Dr. Seema, do you have anything to add to that? Yeah, please.
So it is, we do report new deaths. Those are the date in which we report them. There another way to look at that is the date that a person actually expired. And we are keeping track of that. It has been fairly linear. We have not seen any exponential growths in the number of deaths by date of death.
Much more precise answer than I gave, but thank you for that question. Is there anything from remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a couple questions for you and for Dr. Romero. I guess, first of all, on kind of a progress report on, or is there a sense of any progress with U of A and other college campuses, especially with Washington County topping the list of counties again today? Are you all getting any kind of sense of any of the measures they've taken up there working at all, or anything else that needs to be done? And a second question I had was in terms of the state's report on cases at educational institutions, it seems like there's still a gap between what the state is reporting and what individual campuses are reporting, especially when it came to UA and Arkansas State. Wanted to see if Dr. Romero could kind of explain, I guess, why is there that gap, and is there anything that's being worked on to have those numbers more reflective, figure out which one is the more accurate figure?
Dr. Romero or Dr. Seema, who's the right one to tackle the...
He can handle the latter. And, all right. Question about the delay in recording.
Yes, great question. About the educational institutions, we have set up processes to get the information from our points of contact, the various educational institutions, as quickly as humanly possible. Unfortunately, there is still a little bit of a delay, so that could impact why there are differing numbers that are being reported out by each individual campus as opposed to what we are reporting on our report. Now, also of note, we update a report every Monday and Thursday. I'm not entirely sure how often the campuses update their report, but that could account for some differences as well.
So that was a good segue into what I was going to say. So the report documents that there are less active cases at the Fayetteville campus from this most recent. So from that, we're seeing that it looks like it's coming under control.
Yes.
Done in the schools that we're not already doing that can reduce the number of close contacts to prevent all of these staff and students needing to quarantine?
That is a very timely question because that issue has been raised by school superintendents as well as parents. And this is where they are wearing a mask, but they're not able to be 6 feet apart. And so because of that close contact, there's still a requirement for quarantine. I have discussed this at length with Dr. Romero, and we also looked at the CDC guidelines, and the challenge is the CDC guidelines are clear that it should be both distanced as well as wearing a mask. And so I know the schools are challenged because they can't have that social distancing in every classroom, and it means that you're having to have the more students than what you would like to be quarantined. We still want to work through this, and so we're seeing if there's any options whatsoever, but the CDC guidelines are very clear on that point. And we also want to be very careful. We've had a good start thus far, but we don't want to take any steps that increase the exposure in the schools. So safety is the ultimate goal that we have, but we see if there's any way that we can balance that to a greater extent to reduce the number of students or those that might be exposed. Dr. Romero, please.
So while this six-foot mandate seems somewhat onerous, it's important to note that we are not seeing transmission in the schools. What we're seeing is these individuals that are diagnosed most likely from the community, but we're not seeing, if you will, fallout from those cases. And I think that goes to this issue of maintaining the distance and maintaining the quarantine, because the mask itself, either having it on if you are infected doesn't mean that you won't transmit it, and the mask, having it on if you're not infected, is not a protective measure. So I think we're showing that it does work.
Transmission in schools at all?
I'm sorry?
Any transmission?
I would have to get you that information. Right.
Next question.
Governor, this is Chad Mira with KNWA News. I have a question for Dr. Romero. Over the past 10 days, the U of A has reported about 750 cases of COVID-19, but then it says there's about 330 that are currently active. I was wondering if you could give us a reminder of how you classify a recovered case and if it's normal for that many people to recover so quickly.
So a recovered case is defined as time from positive test onward or symptoms onward. So you remain a positive case for 14 days after the infection if you don't have disease, 10 days if you have the disease, and if you have severe disease, it's 21 days. So again, with rolling off of the list, I would have to go and look specifically at those numbers, but they don't seem out of the norm, so I think that's probably okay.
Next question. Yes.
What is the plan for 2 months from now with the antigen testing supplies run out? The plan to get more supplies?
The answer is we plan to get more. Very pleased. It's rare for us to have a 2-month stockpile in advance during this pandemic. And so that gives us confidence that supply chain will continue. And we had to work it. We had to work through a number of different ways to make sure that those supplies came to Arkansas. But I'm optimistic that even after the 2-month supply that we'll be able to continue to get the antigen testing equipment or supplies. Last question.
So it seems like since school started again, we had a little bit of an uptick, and it's kind of at a sustained higher level, which seems like it's being driven by the colleges. So why is that? Are college students not following the guidelines, or what's going on there?
Well, I think what we see from our college students is that the environment on the college campus is very similar to the environment in our K-12 educational system, where you've got a high level of compliance, you've got supervision that's there, you've got people that are making sure all of the rules and safety measures are followed. What's different is that on the college campuses, you've got a lot of other activity that happens outside of the educational environment, and you see that in very reckless ways sometimes. And I think with the actions of the universities, they cracked down on that. They've utilized their ability to help guide behavior in a more positive way off campus, and that I think you're starting to see some results of that. So I'm, if you look at what we thought was going to happen when we started and where we are now, I think you have to say it's been a very successful start to school, both at the higher education level as well as K-12. But there's no guarantee as to what's going to happen the next couple of months. That's what's challenging about this pandemic, is it is unpredictable. All we know is that we have certain things under our control, and that is our behavior. And we keep focusing on that, because that does make a difference. Thank you very much.